Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Ryan, Homefield Apparel is back to support Gopher Gridiron Radio, and they are coming out with a new pullover. There is a Minnesota pullover, and they're coming out with item after item. It's the corduroy hat. It's the bomber jacket last year. It's the windbreaker this year. And now this pullover, Ryan, the vintage premium wear is absolutely elite.
I was a huge pullover guy growing up, I'll be honest. And so when I got the notification that they're going to be coming out with a pullover Thursday, October 3rd, so probably by the time you're listening to this, this should be one that you go to homefieldapparel.com to check out, because detailed embroidery, hidden side pockets, very team specific. The colors look fly. I'm telling you, if you have a Gopher fan in your life, we all know how hard and how difficult it is to find cool vintage Gopher gear. This is where Homefield Apparel comes in. So what I want you to do on Thursday, head on over to Homefield Apparel, check out the pullover. You'll find plenty of new things that they keep releasing. And when you get to checkout, use promo code GG and the numbers 24. That is promo code GG24 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And Luke, with the holidays just around the corner, if you're trying to get that Gopher fan in your life some early shopping done for the holidays, Homefield Apparel is a great place to do it.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the USC Comes to Town edition. As the number 11 team in the country, the USC Trojans, headlined by Luke's favorite football coach, Lincoln Riley, come into Minneapolis in October. And just as we all predicted, Mr. Luke Buer, it's going to be 80 degrees in early October. So all that talk in the offseason and when schedules were announced, that, oh boy, the West Coast Sunshine Boys, they got to come up to Minneapolis and brave the weather. It's like they're never even going to have left.
Yeah, absolutely. Who would have guessed that October, early October would look like this? We've had quite the fall, Ryan, as you know. And you know what? I guess we can't bring the elements, so we're just going to have to try and see if the guys can bring it on the football field.
That's going to be the hope, because back-to-back games against a top 12 opponent, you're already on a 7-game Power 4 losing streak, a 6-game Big 10 losing streak, and now it doesn't get any more
doesn't get easier.
To a win isn't as clear as it used to be back in the days of the Big Ten West, but that's the new reality of the Big Ten in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. So we should talk about we should talk about injuries in general, Ryan, first. So Justin Wally is one that has been on the mend for a while here. He's missed the last couple games, and now the Gophers are really going to get an aerial assault. They've been fortunate to a certain extent to not see teams that throw the ball particularly well. And this plays into, which we'll discuss later, but it plays into the fact that you know, they have some really good advanced stats against the pass.
They do. And that's where, excuse me, there's been some discussion this week on Gopher Illustrated about, we're going to find out how legitimate this Gopher pass defense is, because they're, I believe, number one in the Big Ten in passing yards allowed per game. They're under 100. They've got only one passing touchdown allowed, 8 interceptions. And the comeback that I guess I've been playing more the devil's advocate this week is, sure, but look at the passing offenses they faced. North Carolina, Nevada, Iowa, Michigan. They're all going to be very, very different from what Miller Moss and Lincoln Riley are going to present. So I think both things will be true. This is the best aerial attack that Minnesota has seen all year. It's the best, I think, best schematic offense that they've seen all year, the most athletic skill guys they've probably seen, especially in the receiving core. But it's also going to be, can you stop the run enough to be able to earn the opportunity to rush the passer and try to get after Miller Moss? So that is certainly the A topic this week, is how for real is Minnesota's pass defense now that we're almost halfway through the season, Luke?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, what are some of those injuries that you're looking at? I know obviously there's the Justin Wally one, but are there any others that you're monitoring?
That's a great question. I think Justin Wally is the one top of mind for everybody, and that's where I would say there have been some positive indications this week that Justin Wally is going to try to give it a go on Saturday. We don't get to see practice, haven't been to a Gopher Fall practice in 10 years. And the funny part is, Luke, I've been able to monitor things on the USC side of things this week, and that's where their media, here's how weird the USC campus is, and I don't know if this is like this in other places. They have to cross a street to get to where their practice is. So the USC media sets up posts opposite the side of the street from the practice field, and they get to monitor who's dressed, who's not, yada, yada. How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Meanwhile, we got, if anybody's even near North Star Apartments, yeah. The Gopher staff is, yeah, very, very different kind of ways of approaching things. But I will say this. We'll see if Justin Wally is able to give it a go. He is doing everything in his power to be able to give it a go. It will be a big boost if he's able to go. Mm-hmm. But I would also caution, I don't know what percent he'll be at if he's playing. He's healthy enough to play. That is, if he does go, that's going to be the thing. But is 90% Justin Wally better than 100% Zaquan Bryan?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think they're going to have to figure out early in the game, because I'm sure if number five is on the field, they're going to test him to see how well he can move laterally on that knee injury. But that is the optimistic part of me, that the indications I've gotten from my sources in and around practice is Wally is going to be very, very close to a game time decision. Now, we'll also see if Maverick Baranowski will be able to come back. He left the game against Michigan. I've heard that there's optimism around him. And then it's just on the USC side of things, I believe they're very healthy. I know that some people were trying to tell me that Miller Moss might be a question mark. He practiced on Tuesday, so I don't think whatever he was dealing with is something that will be hampering him this weekend. So I think all things considered, we'll find out if Darius Green can. That whole Darius Green thing, Minnesota safety,
yeah,
has been a big mystery injury of, or situation of 2024, where he's not able to give it a go. The first couple of games, he comes back, doesn't look great, and now he's out again. It's a very odd situation. And because of the way Minnesota chooses to handle injuries, this is how we get to recklessly, in their minds, whereas it's put to me, speculate, recklessly speculate, Luke Buehr, about situations. It's almost like they could get out in front of it and give us some backstory and back detail like other Big Ten coaches do. But so goes the ways of life, Mr. Buehr.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to talk about when the Gophers are on offense?
I do, which is probably going to lead me into the number one most asked question I've gotten since the end of the Michigan game, which, can you guess what that may be, Mr. Buehr?
Will they play with tempo?
Ryan, why don't they just go to tempo all the time? Greg Harbaugh is such an idiot, Ryan. They should just play with tempo all the time.
All right,
literally works.
Let's talk a little bit about the USC defense from kind of a statistic perspective first. But so when the Gophers are on offense, you know, they rank, surprisingly, Ryan, they're 63 in the country on EPA per rush, where USC is 39th in the country when they're on when USC is on defense. Minnesota EPA per dropback is 121st in the country, where USC is 14th in the country. Generally speaking, USC is very good defensively on third and fourth down. They're only giving up a 28% success rate. Minnesota's been pretty decent on third and fourth down success. They're 36th in the country at 44.8%. I am very interested to see how this plays out, and I do think that I do think that, you know, we have seen some success from the Gophers when they go with tempo, but I also can see, I think the way that USC has an explosive offense will probably influence PJ in wanting to shorten the game in some way, and the way to do that in his mind is to run the ball.
It'll be a very interesting early matchup between Greg Harbaugh and D'Anton Lynn, I believe is how you pronounce his name. If there's any Trojan fans listening, I apologize. I'm just over here having an existential crisis because the former UCLA defensive coordinator last year that Lincoln Riley decided his defense was so difficult to go against, he pulled a James Franklin with Kirk Shiraka and said, well, I can just hire you and give you more money, come across town to USC. He's only 34 years old, Luke. You are older than the defensive coordinator. Is this what it's like to get old?
Yeah.
Where now you just notice everybody's age?
Yeah, you see the success of everyone around you, and you're just like, man, I guess I'm not all that successful.
Well, you often tell me that offline, which is why I go to therapy now. But well, this isn't the venting hour. I will say this. This is a much, much improved USC defense from last year, who was one of the most schematically unsound defenses in the country, really struggled to tackle in space, which is why they ended up firing their defensive coordinator and hiring D'Anton Lynn. And he has been sensational for them. It has been one of the biggest year-over-year improvements defensively in college football has been USC's. And that's where they are the number one third down defense in the Big Ten. When you look at, I believe they're only allowing opposing offenses to convert 26% of third downs against them. And that's where we got to talk with Harbaugh today. And he mentioned that third down package and how difficult it is. And that's where, I guess, if there's any solace for Harbaugh in this offense, it's what Lynn is trying to do is it within the same tree as what they saw last week with Wink Martindale's Michigan defense. So there's a little, at least some similarities week over week that they can build upon. And Max Brosmer won't go from seeing something completely different to this week. Now, I will say, as much as I can get into the tempo talk, which we should talk about, a lot of this just comes down to, can the Gopher offense stop shooting themselves in the foot? And that's the biggest thing, where it's not even about USC to me at this stage. We're almost halfway through the season, and this offense can't get out of their own way with penalties. I've spoken about it quite a bit, where the offensive line has 15 penalties through five games. And when you're constantly in first and 15 or second and 15, the success rate of any offense across college football is going to tank. And that's because of self-inflicted wounds. Or even, I dug up this stat as well via Pro Football Focus. Last year, Minnesota's pass catching core was third in the Big Ten in drops. Now, I'd argue some of that was on Ethan with his accuracy issues. But Luke, this year, no quarterback in the Big Ten has had more drops than Max Brosmer. And I think we can all agree that Max Brosmer is much more accurate than what Ethan was. So that you continue to drop the football, you continue to have penalties that set you back. If you can just not shoot yourself in the foot for 60 minutes as an offense, then we can get into the nuances of tempo, which this is my stance on tempo, Luke. And here I should probably be a respectable journalist and just read, because we asked him plenty about tempo today, Greg Harbaugh, that is.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that it's important, and I think he's right in this, which again, I know it's unpopular to say the offensive coordinator is right in any aspect, but when asked about tempo, it's a give and take, because I can assure you, I've talked to plenty of defensive coordinators. Oh, good for me. I know. I'm not trying. That's not the flex as part of this. But it's the negative with tempo is this. If you go with tempo and you have a three and out, there's 13 seconds that have gone off the clock and your defense is right back on the field. Now, if it works and you get points, that's ultimately at the end of the day, how you win football games is you score points. So you can read everything that Harbaugh said at Gopher Illustrated like you always can, and I encourage you to do so. But I'll take this snippet from what he talked about with tempo. Just quote, you know, we've used it, and so have other people, in second to third down situations as to keep third down sub packages off the field. But it has to be, but we have to use it in the right situation in the right time. It can't be used all the time because then it's a negative, end quote. Now, there's more context and plenty of other things. Like I said, just go read the quotes if you want for yourself. But I'm with him. I want to see more tempo. I do. But I also understand that the give and take with tempo, I think people have only really seen the positive aspects of tempo to where the negatives are just as grave to me. So where do you stand on the whole tempo to tempo situation?
Well, I guess it just depends on, I guess on how you define tempo, right? Like, so one thing tempo in tempo is, yes, you're not huddling, but one is that you're not substituting, right? So you can still drink.
That's where, to his point,
like, yeah,
you've seen them use it in second to third down to avoid
a sub,
trying to get passing down packages for the defense onto the field, because then they have their bigger run stuffing guys in, and that's where you can hopefully get an advantage.
Yeah, so I think it depends on the definition. I don't necessarily agree with the, like, old school Oregon, we're going to go as fast as we possibly can in the Chip Kelly era, right? But I do think that there's some, you can have some advantages by not huddling and trying to not sub. But you can be you also can be opportunistic with tempo, right? Where you can get a positive play, and if you give enough autonomy to your quarterback, the quarterback can then make that decision whether or not to go with tempo. And I guess maybe this day and age with the mic and the headset kind of thing, or the in the helmet, right? So Harbaugh has direct access to Max via the helmet. You know, you can maybe yell down, like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Generally, from a tempo perspective, I think you can still play and shorten the game to a certain extent, as long as you're just managing your huddling. You don't have to just throw constantly.
Correct. And that's where, if you can use it as tempo is designed to be used, which only so many college football offenses like Oregon back in the day can use it successfully all the time. But that's where, if you can keep the defense off balance between huddling and tempo and they don't know which one's coming, that's where it's most effective. Now, I'd also say, yes, the other nugget I took away from that conversation today with Harbaugh about tempo is, I think more of it is Fleck directed than offensive coordinator directed, to where Harbaugh mentioned, and I won't say it verbatim, but, you know, Fleck kind of more dictates when they want to go with tempo, when they don't. Which, Luke, how shocked are you that the head coach has more sticky fingerprints on the offense than the defense?
Not shocked at all.
Correct. So as much as it is about the USC defense, and we'll get into them, I'll get into them a little bit more later, I keep coming back to, with the offense, if you want them to be more consistent, it starts with, stop committing penalties. The offensive line's got to play better. The pass catchers have to stop dropping passes. If you can just play consistent and not do the self-inflicted wounds, the offense by itself will get better just because of that.
Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group is supporting Gopher Gridiron Radio and supporting Gopher athletes via Dinkytown Athletes. So if you're looking to buy or sell your house, or you have a friend that is looking to buy or sell a house, and you know, you're just not in that market, but you want to do anything to help your favorite Gopher team, make sure that you encourage your friends to reach out to Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. These are licensed real estate agents across the entire state of Minnesota, and they can help you. And 1% of that sale price, Ryan, is going to go to Dinkytown Athletes and the team of the buyer or seller's choice.
That is a meaningful sum of money. And I understand that with rates probably coming down here very soon, maybe more people are going to be putting their houses on the market. There'll maybe be more buyers entering. It's a confusing place. Real estate is, in general. And if you don't have anybody you trust, give the people at Team Dinkytown a call. You can check them out online, teamdinkytown.com, all one word, or give them a shout today, 612-250-8562.
Ryan, now more than ever, we're all paying attention and hearing what's happening related to the hurricanes down south. And honestly, Ryan, this is a time that many people are probably thinking about their insurance relative to maybe their home or their auto, and thinking, maybe I need some better coverage, or maybe I need to get a lower price, or maybe I need both. And that's where an independent insurance agent, Ryan, an independent insurance agent can help you.
Correct. They have no loyalty to any one company. They can leverage you against 20 other companies to get you the best coverage at the best price year over year. So if you're not sure that you have the best coverage, or you think, boy, I know I'm paying too much for my home, my auto, my ATV, my commercial business, and you want to try to support a local Gopher fan in your life, what I want you to do is go to insurancebyburns.com, all one word, my last name, B-U-R-N-S, or you can email him, bill@insurancebyburns.com. I'll remind you, it's not just the great state of Minnesota. It's both of the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. So if you think you're paying too much today, check out the Insurance by Burns, folks.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. I think we both agree that from a passing standpoint, this is going to be the best passing team the Gophers have faced this year and might be the entire season. So why not start with the best, right? If we look quickly at some of the stats, when USC is on offense, their EPA per rush is 18th in the country, where the Gophers is 65th. Their EPA per dropback is 44th in the country, where the Gophers are 27th. I know that you're a big fan of success rate. And their success rate when rushing is 20th in the country, and when rushing is 20th in the country, and on dropbacks is 30th in the country. Minnesota's defense is 24th against, or 46th against the rush, and 3rd against the pass.
This is a fascinating game in terms of Minnesota's defense versus USC's offense. And part of that is because while USC is having more success running the football, one of the stats I want to introduce people to, if they haven't heard of it before in the advanced football stats world, is rush rate over expectation. And that's where USC ranks 8th in all of college football in that metric. So what does that mean? Well, it means what it sounds like. It's how much an offense above or below expectations calls a running play. So the Trojans are minus 12% in that rush rate over expectations, means they call pass plays at a very, very high clip in comparison to other teams across college football. Now, on the flip side, Minnesota hasn't been able to stop the run, and their pass defense has been really good. So that's where the Gophers see the 12th most runs in comparison to all other college football teams, above average there. They see a 9.7% above average expectation there. So here's what I'm trying to say, Luke. You have a USC team who doesn't want to run the football. They want to throw it. That's why they call pass plays
definitely
at a very, very high clip. Yet you have a Minnesota pass defense that hasn't seen a ton of passes because, you know, they've been so good at defending it, but also they haven't been able to stop the run consistently. So I'm going to be very curious to see. Something has to give here, and I have a lot of respect for Lincoln Riley and the way that he calls an offense. He probably knows those same stats where Minnesota can't stop the run consistently. They haven't been able to do so against Big Ten teams now for over a year. So what does Lincoln Riley do? Is my long-winded Dan Barrero-esque question to you, Luke Buehr. Does he run the football more than historically, or at least this season he has, to at least test Minnesota? Or do you think Miller Moss, regardless of that, drops back 40-plus times?
I think that obviously he'll start with a package of plays that will, you know, he'll script some plays, right? And then based on that, he'll change his, and where they find success, he'll change his, probably his approach. But honestly, I think that Lincoln Riley falls into the camp of, we're just going to throw the ball, much like Kevin O'Connell for you Vikings fans. Like, for the most part, it's what they believe in and it's what they found success in. And from a schematic standpoint, it's where they think they have the most leverage. So they're just going to throw it more than we expect.
Well, if that's going to be the case, I'd tell you where Minnesota wants to live is in second and third and long.
Yes.
That's where anybody, it's where any defense wants to live. Part of why Minnesota's have been so successful as a pass defense is in the games in which they can stop the run, they can get their passing down package onto the field, play very confusing with different overloads, different looks, different guys coming from different places. And that has been a huge part of why they have 8 interceptions in 5 games. Well, I'm going to be very curious to see if Minnesota can, number one, put themselves in them second and third and longs, because USC's offense is so efficient. You rarely see them in a 3rd and 5+ multiple times in a game. It's why Lincoln Riley is at USC. He's a very, very good offensive mind, and Miller Moss has been very good for him this year. So that's going to be the thing for me, Luke, is can they get there? Well, how should I phrase this? USC will throw it 35 plus times on Saturday night. I feel yes. very confident in that. But it's how often as a defense can Heatherman just tell the front seven to pin their ears back and get after them? I'm going to be one of the things, if I was Lincoln Riley, I'd throw some screens at this Gopher defense. Because in those second and third long situations, we haven't seen too many screens used against Minnesota this year. And that's where you obviously can catch a team as they're trying to get pressure and force turnovers. But this is going to be a giant test for a Gopher defense that now in six consecutive Big Ten games has allowed 27 or more points.
All right, let's get to some facts and figures for this specific game, Ryan. Again, this is another night game. I'm just going to give you like 30 seconds to bemoan another night game.
Well, then we have the UCLA game, which...
Oh,
for those of you traveling,
okay, 60 seconds.
Droves and droves of you. I would imagine probably 50% or more of our listener base, because you're all diehard Gopher fans and we love you so much. Give yourself an extra pat on the back today or an extra affirmation on behalf of myself and Luke Buehr. But that game is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific time, which what does that mean for you, the Gopher fan traveling to Pasadena? That means that people get to see the famous sunset from their seats as the game is kicking off or in the first quarter. And that's what everybody thinks of with the Rose Bowl, is the sun setting over the mountains. So that's at least something to where, yes, Luke, I'm well aware I have now four night games in the first seven, which rest in peace, my already non-existent sleep schedule, which no one feels bad for me. No, sure. Nor should you. But between the game this weekend at night and then the one we will all be traveling to out in Pasadena, I guess this is why we live life to the fullest, Mr. Luke Buehr.
All right, yep. So the Gophers are playing USC. This is a number 11 USC, which is now back-to-back ranked opponents, both within the top 15. The game will be at 6:30 p.m. on BTN. Is it Haberman is the play-by-play. Yogi Roth is the analyst and Rhett Lewis is the reporter. The regular crew on the radio... frequent listener.
I'll say this. This is, I think, the first situation we can point to where historically this type of game, where you are the number two game at this time slot.
Sure.
This game historically would have been at 11 a.m. or 2:30, but because the TV networks now run college football, that's how you get the number two crew on BTN with something called, what did you say the play-by-play guys?
I think it's Haberman.
Yeah. I don't mean to take shots at you, but this is kind of the point I'm making, Luke.
Yeah, I don't know the name. I'm not familiar. I'm also not familiar with Yogi Roth, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see a new crew. Gopher Radio crew, as always, frequent listener Justin Gard will be the sideline reporter with Mike Grimm and Daryl Thompson. So looking at just some historical stats for between the Gophers and USC in the overall series, Minnesota trails this with a single win, six losses, and one tie. The most recent meeting saw the Gophers lose. That was with Max Shortell making an appearance at quarterback after coming in for Marquise Gray. Ryan, does this precede your time covering Gopher football as a reporter?
This was the first game I ever covered in my long tenure now, I suppose, okay, as a Gopher beat guy. First
yeah, this game I ever covered. Okay, this was a 19-17 loss in L.A. This was in 2011. This was Jerry Kill's first season. Minnesota has lost five in a row, so trying to avenge that. And this, as we mentioned, this game will be on BTN for those of you that are watching. A quick look at the weather, Ryan, because I do think that this is interesting and is something we'll note. It's a little early still, but it looks like at kickoff time on Saturday, it should be just about 75-ish degrees on Saturday. And I think more importantly, there's going to be some early wind, and we'll see if the wind sustains from the south. You know, roughly around 2 o'clock, it'll be at 18 miles an hour, and maybe it'll sustain, maybe it won't. It doesn't look like it's predicted to, but it'll be around 15 miles an hour. So it could play somewhat of a little factor. It doesn't seem like there should be much in the way of precipitation. Just would be a beautiful, late July evening, like we were all predicting in October.
Yeah, welcome to the strangest summer and fake fall that I can remember, where we have one of the wettest summers in history. And now we haven't had any rain since August, and now we're in a flash drought. So, Luke, I know that you and the farmers are very excited to get your beans out, and we'll find out how the corn continues to progress as the month of October goes along. But I would also go back to that first game that you mentioned, that USC-Minnesota game back in 2011.
Yeah.
I will, and I don't know when I want to put on the line here, but can you name the two Gophers in that game that scored touchdowns?
Okay, so this was my last year of school, or maybe my first year out. No, this would be my first year out of school, probably. I think it was, I would guess running back would be Duan Bennett. Did he have a touchdown?
Yes, you got one. Boy, was I not expecting that. Good for you.
I do have an okay memory. And I do recall Shortell threw one. So Decker would have graduated. So I'm going to go Dejon McKnight.
That is an elite guess, but the name we were looking for,
Troy Stoudemire?
Brandon Green.
Oh, Brandon Green. Yeah, he was a kid from the Chicago area, right?
Yeah, highly touted guy back in the day. But Brandon Green's only reception was the touchdown one. And yes, Duan Bennett was your leading rusher, and he had the other Gopher touchdown. People don't give you enough credit, including myself.
I know. Was he a Brewster or a Kill guy? I can't remember. Because this is Kill's Brandon first year. Green? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was a Brewster guy.
Okay, but so he carried over. Yeah, yeah. McKnight ended up being probably one of the better receivers out of that kind of short era.
He's an underappreciated receiver from certainly the last 25 years in Gopher lore.
Yeah. Okay, so finally in facts and figures, the Gophers opened a 9-point underdog to US, 9.5-point underdog to USC at home. I've seen that spread now, Ryan, at -8, so we will be taking a -8 line for our prediction segment. And then the over-under started at 51.5, and it just stayed there.
Isn't it interesting how Minnesota is 2-3, has lost 6 consecutive Big Ten games, faces what I believe is probably the best overall coaching staff they've faced to date, which, look, Iowa fans, if you're listening to this, no shade to Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker. They're an awesome duo. But between Lincoln Riley and D'Anton Lynn, I mean, they're as good as you'll find offensive and defensive in the Big Ten. And my point I'm making is, even within that, Luke, you're still only a touchdown underdog, which just kind of shows that Vegas believes that Minnesota is capable of playing 60 minutes of football. And when they have, or at least a half, they have proven that anybody in the schedule they can play with, if not beat, it's just, is this the game that they figure it out, Luke? Now, I know you have thoughts and feelings about my Lincoln Riley and D'Anton Lynn comparison there.
Here's a question for you, though. Okay. Has Miller Moss played all the games so far?
Yes.
Because, like, when I look at just the stats, like, just think about this from this point last year. Who would have thought that our quarterback would have nearly very close stats, not only in attempts, but also in yards and touchdowns to, like, USC's quarterback? So Miller Moss is 106 for 162, almost 1,200 yards throwing. And Max Brosmer is 102 for 154 and almost 1,100 yards passing. Miller Moss has 8 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, and Max Brosmer has 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Like, I know that Max has more turnovers, but I just think of where we've come, right? Like, who would have expected this?
Yeah, I mean, USC has played one less game. But
oh, did they? Point, okay, I didn't know that.
They've only played 4 games.
But oh, Minnesota, so never mind. They're not comparable at all. Never mind.
Of teams that have played 5 games in the Big Ten, Max Brosmer is 2nd in pass attempts.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, it speaks to they actually did commit to the throw, but also they can't run the ball. So yeah,
that's the...
Yeah, it is. It's killer. It's a very odd place to be. I thought they were going to throw it more. You heard me talk about it all offseason, but to be 3rd in the Big Ten in pass attempts in the early part of October wasn't within my purview, I'll say that.
You kind of beated that drum a little bit that they'd throw the ball more, but yeah, I don't think we expected this. Okay, let's get to your keys of the game, and then we'll preview, and then we'll do our predictions.
So offensively, I've talked about it earlier, but as much as it is about USC's defense, folks, I will continue to harp on it has to start internally, and that's to stop shooting yourselves in the foot on offense. Now, Minnesota's offense through the first five games of the season ranks 100th in EPA on early downs in college football as an offense. So they're not very good on early downs. That isn't where you want to be is you're in third and long too often. Okay, well, how did they get out of those spots? Well, let me tell you, it helped if the offensive line stopped committing penalties at such a high rate. They have 15 accepted penalties against them through the first five games, according to Pro Football Focus, including five of them last week alone. And within those five against Michigan, four of those were pre-snap or holding calls, of which came on first or second down. My point is, backing yourself up constantly isn't going to contribute to the offensive success. So you've also got the drops component, which I mentioned earlier. Max Brosmer has 10 drops from his pass-catching core, which is the most singular Big Ten quarterback. I think about last week, Frank Bierman on the opening drive. He drops an easy one on second and seven, which if he catches it, it's at the very least third and short, if not a first down. Instead, it's a third and long against Wink Martindale's Michigan defense. You also had Darius Taylor hit him right in the face mask.
Right.
Nearly ended up as an interception on first down. So when you're constantly shooting yourselves in the foot with penalties, and these drops are coming in early downs as well, unfortunately, my point is get out of your own way, Luke Buehr, before you can start to assist others.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love it if this were the game that the offensive line also clicked in the run game. I talked a lot about line yards last week. I'll mention now the updated look five games through the season. Your Golden Gophers rank 108th in college football in line yards per rush. That ain't where you want to be. That is certainly still the lowest of any offensive line in the Fleck era and the lowest mark for any Gopher offensive line since 2010. Now, this USC defense, let's tie it back into the game here. They rank 83rd as a defense on early down success rate, and they rank 79th in EPA per rush. So it turns out USC isn't very good on early downs as a defense, and they've struggled at times against the rush. Great. It's finally a week where, in theory, Luke, your weaknesses aren't their strengths, so they don't get exacerbated. So the place Minnesota has to stay away from is those third downs, and those specifically the third and longs, because this Trojan defense is the number one Big Ten defense on third down. They are allowing just 26% of third downs to be converted against them. Now, we can talk all about tempo you like. I'm just going to tell you, this is a game where you can't shoot yourselves in the foot because you need to score at least 28 points. How did I get to that number? Your defense has allowed 27 or more points in each of the last six Big Ten games, which coincides to an extent with the six-game Big Ten losing streak that you're on. Plus, just in general, this USC offense is among the most explosive, if not the most explosive one they will face all season. So if you're better on early downs and you stop shooting yourselves in the foot, you're going to have a chance to get there. Now, defensively for Corey Heatherman, you better back up this USC offense or it could be a long night, because the Trojans lead the Big Ten in passing yards per game at 316. They've got 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 175 passing attempts. Conversely, no team in the Big Ten has been better against the pass than your Golden Gophers, as they have only allowed 484 passing yards in 5 games. My Oakdale, Minnesota education would tell me roughly 95 yards per game through the air that they've allowed, with 8 interceptions and just 1 passing touchdown. Two strengths for the defenses get to go against, or the offense and defense get to go against one another. Now, I talked about rush rate over expectation earlier. My question is this: will Lincoln Riley go to the run a little bit more? Because as you mentioned, Luke, if you just look at USC's run game in general, they're a top 25 run game when they try to in the country. And that's with their tailbacks of Woody Marks, which is an elite college football name. Woody Marks sounds like someone who should be playing college football. And then Quinton Joyner. Now, if you can't stop those two, it's going to be a long day. The key to this game for the defense is you can't allow explosive plays and you cannot allow USC to be in third and short all night. Now, I would also mention one player's name, which if you have not watched a USC game before, Zachariah Branch is the best slot receiver they have faced to date. He is as explosive as they come in the return game. He plays primarily in the slot for them, and Minnesota really hasn't faced a good slot receiver this year. And Luke, unfortunately, I'm getting flashbacks to last year where Isaiah Williams for Illinois wrecked them. Now, if Justin Wally comes back, I'll be curious to see if they move him into the slot on passing downs like they had when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. But Luke, better get them off track. And that's difficult to do because the Trojans, as an offense, are converting third downs at a 49% clip. Now, finally, Luke, I will say this isn't about special teams for the final key. I'm saving you. I'm saving our listeners. But it's an introspective one for PJ Fleck and this team. Show you're capable of playing 60 minutes of football. Why have you lost six consecutive Big Ten games? Why have you lost seven straight Power Four games? Because you keep finding ways to lose instead of finding ways to win. In the North Carolina game was the sloppiest game I've witnessed from a PJ Fleck team. You have a 14-7 lead at halftime against Iowa, and then you implode in a spectacular fashion in the third quarter. And then against Michigan last week, Minnesota self-destructs in that second quarter where your all Big Ten receiver fumbles it deep in their own end. You give Michigan the ball in the red zone. Your defense can't hold. Touchdown three plays later. Your punt team gets one block. You give that putrid Wolverine offense once again the ball in the red zone, but your defense gives up a touchdown on the first play they see. Those 14 points ultimately cost you the game. I can't fathom for the life of me, Luke, why such a veteran team, which Minnesota is in 2024, continues to slip on the banana peel repeatedly. And whether it's the first half against Iowa, the fourth quarter against Michigan, this team can play with anybody for a stretch of time. They just haven't been able to have that time be 60 minutes of one game. So if they're going to play their first complete game of the season, here's what needs to happen. The offensive line has to stop with the penalties. If your pass catchers just catch the easy ones, you stay on track. That's the bare minimum here. Defensively, get off the field on third down. You rank 14th in the Big Ten in terms of getting off the field on third down. So don't commit any stupid penalties that extend drives as well. And then special teams. I did look this one up, Luke. In Minnesota's three losses this season, can you guess what their EPA is from their special teams?
Well, last time I think it was pretty close. And it was like -8. So I'm going to go -10.
In Minnesota's three losses this season, their special teams have a -18.84 points added. I truly believe some people don't have any idea how difficult that is to do. To be damn near a touchdown a game down because of your special teams who are on the field for like 15 plays is wild. So here's my thing for special teams. Make your field goals. Don't shank punts or get them blocked. And let the pride of Esko, Minnesota carry you to the promised land in Coy Parish, please. But I'll end it with saying this. If we don't see the first complete game this weekend, which, yeah, it's a difficult ask against the number 11 team in the country, we're now going to be at the halfway point of the season. And then at what point, Luke, do we just spend hours on hours going forward saying, this team's just not capable of doing it? So prove me wrong, Gophers, play a complete game of football.
All right. We got to get to the predictions. But before that, Ryan, we got to review our season stats on our predictions. One thing that we classified as we did our season preview was coin flip games. And Ryan, the last game was the first coin flip game. It became a coin flip game when we didn't think it was going to be a coin flip game. So kudos to the Gophers, I guess. That is the silver lining if you're looking for one. Neither of us predicted Michigan to be a particularly close one, and it ended up being a coin flip game.
Look at us.
Look at them.
Proving us.
Ryan, in this game, you predicted a coin flip game. You picked 31-27 as a final score. So good on you, I guess. And just to review the stats on the season, Ryan, straight up, you're 4-1. You're 2-2 against the over under, and you're 1-4 against the spread. I have the exact same record. So hopefully you're not the same as me this week. So I can go first again. I do think the Gophers can be very competitive in this game, as the -8 spread says in favor of USC with a 50.5 over under. I am going to take the USC Trojans to win 31-24. That is both an over and a Gopher cover.
I hate how you predict scores based on vibes.
It's not vibes. Do you want me to like explain how I came to this rationale?
I think myself and many of our listeners would appreciate a little bit more detail.
Okay. My rationale. I don't think that the Gopher pass defense is good as the stats indicate. That is definitely a vibe, because the stats indicate that they're very good against the pass. If the Gophers are going to find success, they have to be able to get after Miller Moss and get him off schedule. I think they're capable of doing that, but that's what results into explosive plays, and I don't think the secondary is going to have quite enough. I do think that Max Brosmer and the offense can find a rhythm. I do think that it might be one of their better rushing games of the season. I'm hopeful that Darius Taylor will get involved in both the pass and the run, and probably will net something like 24 to 28 touches in this game if they're going to have success. But I do think that this USC defense, while good, might not be as good as the last two defenses that we faced.
Okay. I appreciate you willing to go into that. So thank you. So I'll say this. If you want to be glass half full, Mr. Maroon and gold colored glasses, because you've been sitting in the tailgate lot since 12:30 when it opened. You've had enough duck beer to fund a small village. If you want to be Mr. Glass Half Full guy, here's what happens. The offense finally scores a touchdown in the first quarter. And if that happens, I can about guarantee it's because the offensive line doesn't commit a penalty, their pass catchers don't have a drop, and then throughout the game, the Gopher defense stops the run enough to get pressure in and around Miller Moss, which makes him throw his first multi-interception game of the season. And in that world, the Gophers win a barn burner 31-27. Now, in the Johnny Raincloud scenario, your offensive line struggles with execution, penalties. You back up your offense against the number one third down defense in the Big Ten. Your defense gives up a couple of scoring drives early on. And then here we are in negative game script once again, or PJ Flex team. Minnesota then sells out to stop the run. Miller Moss hits you over the top for 300 plus and three scores, and you lose by three touchdowns. So what am I going to pick, Mr. Luke Buehr? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to pick something in between. I think your offense does enough and your defense do enough to keep it a one-score game with the number 11 team into halftime. But somewhere in the second half, this team has shown no propensity at any point to stop the bleeding once it starts. So I'm going to say they start bleeding. This thing implodes again for another 10-minute stretch. And USC is too good to have self-inflicted wounds like that. USC wins 31, Minnesota 21. So that is an over, and that is a USC cover. So the interesting part within both of our predictions, Luke, is you and I have no faith in this defense.
I guess I just think that USC is just that high powered of an offense.
I am terrified of Zachariah Branch against Minnesota's slot corner or safety, or God forbid a linebacker. I'll say that first and foremost, but I also just think USC, if this was USC's defense from last year, that was
much better. Yeah.
And this game would be in a much different spot for Minnesota. But turns out Lincoln Riley has hired well. They bought well out of the portal, which, make no mistake about it, USC has some of the stupidest money that you can imagine in the NIL game, which I wish I had covered a team that had that. I'm not throwing shade at Dinkytown athletes. The reality is, folks, USC can throw hundreds of thousands of dollars in any kid, which is why they're USC, I suppose. And I think they've bought well out of the portal. I just think that until Minnesota shows that they cannot self-sabotage themselves, who are we to think they can beat the number 11 team in the country?
All right, quickly running through the Big Ten, Ryan. Michigan State travels to Eugene to play number 6 Oregon on 8 p.m. on Fox. Oregon is a 24-point favorite with a 52.5 over-under.
Aiden Chiles against Oregon's defense. Can I please remind you that everybody's favorite quarterback, Mr. A. I don't care, leads the Big Ten with a 12 average depth of target. PFF has him, Luke, with 14 turnover-worthy plays in 5 games.
Amazing.
The next closest Big Ten quarterback, 8. My man has almost thrown the ball in harm's way twice as many times as any other Big Ten quarterback, but you ain't going to beat Oregon with not trying to let this thing go out in a blaze of glory.
All right. There's a theme to this, to the remainder of this slate, Ryan.
Let's do it.
And it's a lot of firsts, okay? Are you ready for a lot of firsts? UCLA will travel to their very first, road Big Ten game at Happy Valley against Penn State. It is going to be an 11 a.m. kick, which is going to be a 9 a.m. kick for UCLA. 27.5 point favorite for Penn State, 46.5 over under.
God bless UCLA as they end their stretch from stretch from hell as they get to travel to your point to Beaver Stadium there. And that's where both UCLA and Minnesota are going to be coming off very, very difficult games. I mean, this is one where the pride of Litchfield, your favorite Penn State offensive coordinator, is likely going to put up 38 plus.
All right. Purdue travels to Wisconsin, an 11 a.m. kickoff on BTN. Wisconsin by 14. Over under 45.5.
I don't know what to think of this game, because does Vegas think Wisconsin is that good or that Purdue is that bad? I'm tend to believe that they think Purdue is that bad, considering that the 3 Power 4 teams that Purdue has played this year, they've lost by 59, 17, and 18. Now, Purdue did play with Nebraska for a half, but I also just don't think Wisconsin's that good, especially without Tyler Van Dyke. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on this one at 11 a.m.
All right. And so Purdue will be out without their offensive coordinator, so that'll be a first for them.
What was your favorite Graham Harrell moment?
Yeah, that was quick. Iowa travels to Ohio State, who is number 3 in the country. This is a 2:30 kick on CBS. Ohio State is a 20.5 point favorite with a 44.5 over under.
Ready for a hot take?
Yeah.
I think Iowa loses but easily covers.
Okay.
I think Will Howard versus Phil Parker is not going to go well to start. And I think Caleb Johnson in the running game for Iowa is going to do more damage than people think against Ohio State. I still think Ohio State wins, but I think that's a very big touchdown spread.
All right. So here's another first. When's the last time Indiana was ranked? They're number 23 at Northwestern. It's a 2:30 kick on BTN. This is a game on the lake. This will be the first time that Indiana has played along the lake at Northwestern in the practice field. Indiana, 14.5 point favorite or 14 point favorite, 41.5 over under.
Look at the get-in price for the practice field.
Yeah, $129 bucks. You don't think they're traveling from Bloomington to the practice field?
See, the worst part about this is I'm going to owe Daniel House, because he's the one who made the bold proclamation before the year that Indiana was going to be 6-0. If they can beat what is the most anemic passing offense, or just offense in general, if you can get a lead on Northwestern, they ain't going to come back unless they're playing your Golden Gopher team. Wow. Too soon? Probably.
Probably.
In Indiana, about to be bowl eligible in the first weekend of October.
All right, Rutgers travels to Lincoln to play Nebraska at 3 p.m. on FS1. Nebraska is a 7-point favorite, and will this be the first loss for Rutgers on the season?
I believe so, but can you please educate myself on how to enunciate Rutgers running back's last name?
Kyle Manungai, I believe, is the correct pronunciation.
He is sensational. Yeah. Like, I think he is the most underappreciated back in the Big Ten, if not the country. I watched that game with Randy Johnson of the Star Tribune at the Marriott Bar on Friday night, which this is how luxurious it gets on the road, Luke. That's how you know you're living it big. But I think Rutgers is very, very lucky to not somehow your Washington team screwed that up. I've never
seen
like that. Three missed field goals, a blocked field goal that was then reversed that Rutgers then scores a touchdown on
the next play. And not to mention,
they had a third and goal at the two.
Exactly.
Don't get any points on that drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like anything that could go wrong went wrong for your boy Jed Fish. Yeah. Now, I think Nebraska can match Rutgers, especially up front. And if Nebraska can get touchdowns, which has been very difficult to do against Joe Harris-Simiak's defense, it's going to be a tough spot for that quarterback for Rutgers.
All right, number 10, Michigan travels to Washington. 6:30 kick on NBC. And Ryan, this might be a first. The number 10 team is playing an unranked team and is in a 2.5-point underdog with the over-under of 41.5.
I didn't know Washington was a 2-point favorite at
home. Two and a half at home. Yeah.
Wow. Now, that's great. Wow. Look, we all saw Michigan last week. They can't complete a forward pass. But their defense, I mean, I guess you could say there's a lot of similarities between historically what Iowa was and what Michigan was. That's somewhat surprising to me, but I would also say Washington should have beat Rutgers last week by about 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
They found a way to lose. And if Washington can show up at home on NBC, I could see Michigan get knocked off here. And I think Vegas is usually making a lot of money for a reason.
All right. That's going to do it for this preview episode. It's been fun again, Ryan, to talk some Gopher football ahead of this big game against USC. For those of you in the tailgate lots, please stay safe. It is going to be a long time before kickoff if you're there very early. We want to thank our sponsors, Homefield Apparel, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. Again, thank you all for listening, and go Gophers.